And it's got to be the same servant because it's got that same phrase. So when trouble comes, he's got exactly the same phrase printed here in Kings. I'm pretty sure it's the same guy. But he wakes up. He's the first one out of the house in the morning. Goes to whatever he do, first thing in the morning. Have a stretch. And then he says, oh, we're surrounded. All right, the king of Aram's armies are all around us. And he runs back and he goes, oh, no, my lord, look. Look, that's a bit too early. And I just imagine what he does. Okay, you did it yesterday, so I go and get a stick. Is that going to help? All right, do we need a stick for this one? And Elisha takes an entirely different tack here. He just prays. But he tells him, for starters, those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. And you can imagine the servant said, we must be mad. There's only 40 of us, and we've got nothing. And there's hundreds of them, and chariots, and horses, and everything. And then he prays, open his eyes so that he may see. And his prayer, because he's Elisha, is answered instantly. And the servant looks up, and he can see all around the heavens, there are chariots and horses of fire. All right. And he sees that those with them are greater than those who are with them that are against us. And you think, oh, this is just going to be a massacre now, isn't it? All right, so what's he going to do? What's going to happen? And Elisha, he prays again, and all the armies of Aram are blinded. And he goes down to them and said, you've come to the wrong place. And he leads them all, blinded, to Samaria, the walled city. Gets them all there and prays again, and their eyes are opened, and they can see they're trapped. Right? They're entirely at the mercy of the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, he doesn't make a decision by himself. He goes to Elisha again and says, what shall I do with them? What shall I do with them? Shall I run them through with a sword? What am I going to do with them? And this is where the story takes a real unusual twist, because Elisha, he says, sit them down, feed them, give them something to drink, send them on their way. You're expected to be able to kill them. Well, I want you to show them mercy, all right? Unequal mercy. Treat them that way, and there will be peace, because that's what all the people wanted. They wanted peace. So, remember it from Sunday school, if you went to Sunday school? All right. We each need a vision. My vision is clear, all right? I know when I'm there in Kenya, it's like being home. Yeah, if I had the opportunity, I'd jump on a plane tomorrow and go. It's that easy. And when I'm there, everything just seems to work out and fall in place. The things that don't, obviously, it's a tough place to live and work. But I know that for this time, it's the right place for me to be. And 25 million shillings, it seems a huge amount. Thank God it's more than I've got. It's about £200,000. So before I went to Kenya, I had a couple of conversations with people. And one of them, a lady came and asked me and said, "What can I pray for when you're out there?" And I said, basically, yeah, we need about £200,000 to finish the school. All right. And the response was, "Oh my lord! All right, that's huge. That's almost too big. All right, but no, we'll pray. We'll pray for that." The other conversation I had was somebody from Thumbs Up, one of the children that goes to Thumbs Up. And I was out there standing by the notice board, by the Kenya notice board, and they came up to me and said, "Your photo's at my school." I explained why it was, because during the Summer Fete, they have a Kenya day, and the money that they raise, I take it out to the school, I buy sports equipment. And I said, I'm going there again next week, going to the school to do some more stuff. I said, I'll come with you. I'll just go and check with my mum. Sometimes we just think the task is too big and we look down. And that's where the devil loves to have us, looking down, saying, it's too big, I can't afford this, I haven't got the time to do that, I could never do that, all right? I'd be no good at it. And he just loves us to look down and not to look where we should be. Now, you all know I love to fly. When I go to Kenya, I take as many flights as possible. So there and back, 6 flights. You can do it in less than that, but why would you? Yeah. Occasionally, you get to sit upstairs. All right, you get an upgrade. That's really nice as well. But I'll never tire of this view. All right, so that's the final flight from Nairobi to Kisumu, and it is just incredible. Sometimes it's cloudy, and you can see, like this time I spotted an old volcano, it looked like, a volcanic crater. You fly over the Rift Valley. But most of the time, I just like to look up, all right, because it's not a chance you get very often. And always it reminds me of Psalm 121. I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And I know I couldn't do any of what I do in Kenya without knowing that. If I just went there in my own strength, no, it wouldn't happen. All right. What we're achieving in Kenya is just phenomenal. I mean, you could feature it on the big thing. It was on Friday night. Thank you. Comic Relief. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, there was a lady there who does a very, very similar job to what Violet does, going around visiting families, doing the social work side, getting people into hospital, that sort of thing. What we're doing, it would feature on there. It would feature in Children in Need. Come across them occasionally in Kisumu and some of the projects that they are doing out there. It is just phenomenal what we're achieving, but it's just the right time. God is working out there. I keep saying the church doesn't need our help out there, you know, in terms of evangelizing, witnessing, phenomenal. All they need occasionally is a bit of help with some building, you know, to put a build. But it wouldn't stop them. They'd meet under a tarpaulin if there was no building. So my help comes from the Lord. Okay, took a bit of technical innovation out with me last time. It's a 360-degree virtual reality camera. Brenda, well, you know Brenda is quite prolific on the WhatsApp group. She was the first one to try it out. Okay, little clip, because essentially the offering line that we did this morning, she's standing right here, but in the church in Africa, with a huge great African guy next to her. I think that was the first comment. And it's literally like being there. Now, it looks really weird because you can't experience what they're experiencing. Okay. There is a couple of people here that I'd really, really like to take out to Kenya, because I know you'd just be fantastic there and you can experience some of the things that I've experienced. But if you want a little glimpse before you go, I've got standing in the church in the offering line filmed. I've got a tour of the farm done. You can sit in a math lesson. You can sit in an English lesson, all right, and actually see how it's taught. And that, well, the great thing is just see how responsive the pupils are and how in line they are, if you like. It's just phenomenal. All right, so if you want to do that, they'll be ready for next week. You can have a little experience of it, sound and vision. You have to sit down when you do it because it can be a bit disorientating, all right, but through the miracle of virtual reality, you can experience that. Sometimes it's very easy to be so concerned with what's going on in your life and the immediate thing that you miss what God is doing. Yeah? So my classic pictures, Penny, Fessa. We sat down in a little safari park in Kisumu. And so he was desperate for the water, all right, and completely missed almost a whole herd that ran behind her and jumped over that huge log there as well. But it's all about timing, isn't it? This week, if you're doing 40 Acts, one of my favourite ones came up this week. So 40 Acts for Advent, if anybody's doing that. Number 9, Lent. Yeah. Number 9 is be present. Yeah. And that's one of the best things that you can do. Just turn up. You know, people can't believe that you turn up in a house group in Kenya. It's like, what are you doing here? Hezbollah invited us to keep explaining to people as well how much it costs us to get there. And he said, you know, they come because they love the people here and want to do something to help them and improve. But the best thing you can do is just be present. And for some of you, the time is not right for mission at the moment. But what you can do is just be present when you are. All right. We are fortunate that our children are 23 and 27 now, not really requiring much input from us anymore. And parents are getting slightly more, requiring a bit more input. But we're at the stage where we've got a bit of time. But for a lot of people, time now is to be with the family. Be present, all right, is the first thing that I would say. Make that a priority. Mission doesn't have to be Kenya. There are mission opportunities where we live. I desperately wanted to be part of the night shelter, but I couldn't make it because the training was on and everything when I was going out to Kenya. I wanted to be part of that. There are opportunities on our doorstep. What we have to do, though, are these four simple things. Like Elisha's servant, have a little faith. Yeah, believe that actually there's more to life than what you've got at the moment, and God has got something, maybe only a small thing, that he wants you to do. So have a little faith. Don't rely on the miracles of yesterday. Look for something new today. Be in a good place. Elisha and his guys, they were in a good place. They were on a hilltop. They were expanding. All right. We need to be close to God. Messages like this for me usually come in a time of worship. And if don't be disturbed if you're leading worship when I've got my pad out and I'm writing something down, because that's when I tend to get inspired, all right? And sometimes it just ends up on the back of an envelope because that's all I've got, all right? But I'll be scribbling away, because for me, in worship is a time when I really get inspired. So being in a good place is the second thing, where God, you can allow God to talk to you. Open your eyes, all right? There are opportunities all around us, and... Well, we're going to sing a song to finish with in a minute, but it just talks about opening our eyes. And while this song is playing, that God is going to just implant something in you, all right, and just give you a little vision for the things that you can do. And then finally, look up. Where does my strength come from? It doesn't come in the abilities I've got now, even, all right? Everything that I do, it comes from God. Through his grace and his mercy. Years ago, Steve asked us what was the thing that we wanted as our epitaph, all right, or to put on our tombstone, gravestone even. And I'd text mine even before he finished his message. It was very simple. It's not going to be like Spike Milligan's, "I told you I was ill." Mine is very, very simply, "No regrets." No regrets. If you see an opportunity, and I still miss opportunities because I'm busy doing something else or I'm not fully tuned in to when they come, and I get home and I realize, that was an opportunity I had there. All right. We're doing great things in Kenya, but everybody has an opportunity to do mission on their doorstep. All right. So just remember those four things. The band are going to come up. They're going to finish with Build My Life, and just... Just during this time, just let God just seal something in your life that you can be a part of.
of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever bring. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other. Jesus, the only one who could ever sing. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.